Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm. Tonight we're going to talk about the gospel of peace, the gospel of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's evident in these last days, there's many gospels, but yet in reality, according to the scripture, there's only one true gospel. And God is expecting us all to be wise and noble. As the Bereans, it's recorded in Acts chapter 17. They were hearing the word and the message of the apostles, but they searched the scriptures to see if what they were declaring was true. And indeed, what the apostles were declaring was written right in the law, the prophets, and the writings. It was right there for them to see what was unfolding in their day. And we need to be the same. We need to be wise and noble, put every single thing to a test. The apostles were made this very clear, not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits and see if they're of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the word of God for every one of us to use to make sure we're walking in the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. And God is a God of truth. And he's given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to guide us, to lead us in that truth. So we're not obligated to fall or believe a lie. God's given us so many ways of searching and knowing the truth. And actually, the truth is a person. It's him. It's God. It's our Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of peace. God has made peace with man for those that will believe his word through the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel is good news. It's the word of God was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He came to take away our sins, and he died on the cross according to the scripture. He was buried for 3 days according to scripture. He was raised from the dead and seen by over 500 witnesses. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Apostle Paul, his gospel. It's his recorded what he's relaying that he received of the Lord. This is the proclamation of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of those who believe. Proclamation of the cross is foolishness to those that perish, but to those that are saved, it is the power of God. This is the report. This is the gospel. If we mix these words with faith, we enter the rest of God. We cease from our own works as God did from his, and this is recorded in Hebrews chapter 4. The power of the cross of Jesus is effective over the power of sin and death to those who believe. And this power offers believers victory over sin and death. This gospel is one of the spirit and not of the flesh. This is important. These are different aspects of life. One is flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. And God has called us to walk in the spirit, to be led by the spirit of God and not walk in the flesh. The flesh is unprofitable, good for nothing. God is calling us to crucify the flesh that we may walk in the Spirit. This gospel is one of the Spirit and not of the flesh. The flesh is profitable for nothing. It is the Spirit that quickens. Romans 8:4 tells us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Believers that truly have faith are called righteous, as even Abraham believed God and was counted for righteous. That's in Romans chapter 4. Hebrews 4:3 tells us, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." We are saved by grace through faith. God is looking for believing hearts of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The law of Moses was not of faith. It was unprofitable. And it could perfect nothing. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. It is by faith in Jesus Christ from the heart that one believes unto righteousness. It is Jesus Christ our life. That's the cornerstone that I'm going to share of these many different scriptures tonight, because I believe there's a need. There's a need because we have extremes from the left and we have extremes on the right. And any either extreme of left or to the right is off the center of Christ. We need to be in Christ, the straight and narrow way that leads to life. And this is a daily thing that we need to do as we present ourselves unto God as a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pick up our cross, we deny ourselves, and we follow the Lord. This is a daily thing. Paul the Apostle said, I die daily. As we start our day and surrender to the Lord and completely relying on Him and the life of Christ in us, this is how we walk into the kingdom of God. And that's crucial. It's crucial to enter the kingdom of God through humility. Unless you humble yourself as a child, Jesus said, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. I have really found this message to be very important. It's been a burden on my heart for some time, actually. And as I mentioned earlier about the extremes on one side, the left side, and then the other extreme on the other side, and we want to be centered. We want to be centered on the cross, centered in the scriptures, what the Word of God says. And I see today, on one extreme, we have people wanting to go back to the law of Moses to be righteous, to do the works of the law. And that's absolutely forbidden in Scripture, in many texts. And on the other side of the extreme, you have people that are walking in total sin, in darkness, and walking in the flesh, calling it grace, and turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, that's wrong too. But what God's calling us to is to literally believe the gospel, repent of our dead works, and put our faith towards God. This is what an exhortation in the Hebrews chapter 6, when the writer of Hebrews was saying to the people that they should be teachers, but they're actually themselves unskilled in the word of righteousness, and they need to go back to learn the first principles. You know, those that are under teachers are actually babes. That's what he says. They're on milk. But that's okay. I mean, if that's where we're, if the people that are professing faith in these last days, if they're babes, then they need to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. They need to study the scripture, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, and grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and get back to the word of God. And people are going to really wish they studied the scriptures more as we come into these last days, where there's such a resistance to the word of God. So there is an extreme on one side that's putting people back into bondage, and which actually denies Christ. We're going to read these scriptures, what the danger of this is. And on the other side are people that walk in absolute sin and say they love Jesus, which is a total lie. So what does God call us to do? Believe the gospel. As I was saying, the writer of Hebrews chapter 6, he said, we won't lay again the foundation of Christ. That Christ is the very foundation. And repentance from dead works. And faith towards God. Doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. The bottom line is we have to repent of our dead works. We can't work to save ourselves. There's nothing we could do out of our own self. That would be filthy rags, the scripture says. But the Lord is our righteousness, and he's calling us to abide in him, and he in us, his word abiding in us. And that's how we bear fruit unto God. It's the very life of Jesus. And the analogy Jesus gave was he's the true vine. In John chapter 15, he said, I'm the true vine, your branches. You can't bear fruit, but you can't do anything by yourself. This is the same thing that Jesus said regarding his own life, that there was nothing he could do outside of the Father. Even so, you cannot do anything on your own. You are to abide in the vine as a branch, and that his nature, his life, his fruit will be evident in your life. It's by faith. And those that do believe actually enter his rest and cease from their works. So let's get into the scripture and talk about this and just listen closely to those scriptures, what they say. This is Ephesians 2:7 and following. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's this co-laborship. God works, and we work by yielding through faith, and it's by grace. Another scripture is in Romans chapter 4. I'm going to just read this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Got that? That's Abraham, the father of faith. How was he justified? By believing, by faith. It wasn't working, because working is not grace, but it's out of debt or obligation. Okay, now, Romans 4, 6 goes on, and now Paul's going to give us another example from David. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Comes this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. This is so wonderful, these scriptures. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter 9. Paul was really grieved about the people, Israel and Judah, and their fallen state and how they'd killed Jesus. Of course, it was written in the scriptures, but the blindness had come to them. But now the gospel has gone into all the world, that all nations, whoever of every blood, tribe, kindred, that they that have faith would be part of the kingdom of God and be part of the body of Christ through faith. Paul said some amazing things here. Verse 6, Romans 9, verse 6, not as though the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. Watch this focus. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now listen to this, Romans 9:16. So then, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden it. See, this is amazing. To God be the glory that he's had mercy on you. If he's drawn you to believe on the gospel, you can't come to God on your own, Jesus said. It's the Father that draws you by his mercy, by his election. Now let's continue to look at Romans chapter 10. Paul saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." That scripture, that's Romans 10:3, is crucial. We need to realize that it is the Lord, it is our righteousness, and we cannot establish our own righteousness. We submit to God for his righteousness, and as we've already established, the blessedness of him that works not. This is what David said, and this, as it was shown by Abraham, he believed God and was counted for righteousness. Verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them." There's three texts in the scriptures that show that if you do one aspect of the law, you're obligated to do the whole law. It's very important that you realize that. This is one of those texts, as well as Galatians chapter 5. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That's to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That's to bring Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is that the word of faith, which we preach, which we proclaim, the word of faith, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, it's not head knowledge we're talking about. But this whole aspect of the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus is, do you believe it in your heart? We're not talking about head knowledge, but this faith and believing from the heart will actually change your behavior, because it's the power of the cross is activated in your life, where you no longer are a liar. You no longer are an immoral person, but Christ in you is walking. And as you walk in the Spirit, you actually fulfill the law. But not through your flesh, but through the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is Peter now. We've heard Paul, this is Peter. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Do you see how the correlation here with Peter and Paul brings this out as well? To believing this gospel of Jesus Christ, that to believe is to obey, to not believe is to disobey, and is a stumbling stone, because the Jews went about to establish their own righteousness, they would not believe. And when you do not believe, you are in disobedience, and you'll never please God. You'll never please God that way. And that's the reason why we're talking about this tonight. And this is something that happened in the ministry of Paul the Apostle. He administered the gospel and he saw what happened to the Galatians, how they had gone backwards, back into bondage. Listen to this, Galatians 3. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministered to you the spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Which the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. That's Galatians 3:12. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is the gospel. This is one of faith, believing in your heart. In Galatians 4, Paul was talking about the law. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn again to weak and beggarly elements, wherein you desire again to be in bondage? And Paul goes on and describes that. Now listen to Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, there's a gospel of peace, and there's a gospel of bondage. One is of faith, one is of works. One is of flesh, one is of the Spirit. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And we've now seen it three times, that if you do one element of the law, you're obligated to do the whole law. And remember, works is a debtor. Works is not grace. Grace is not works. It's either or. Paul says it once, and he says it twice. If you're circumcised, as this is the example he's giving, the element of the law. Christ will profit you nothing. Christ will have no effect unto you. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, the power of the cross through the blood of Jesus that offers eternal life and the forgiveness and cleansing of sins will not be of effect if you're working, if you're doing an aspect out of your flesh, the law. You must repent of dead works and you must put your faith towards God. This is the gospel. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Goes on and talks more. What we've established that this gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of faith, is a gospel of grace through faith. And it's God's mercy that he's called you to believe. And that act of believing on Jesus is that which justifies you. And this is the way it was with Abraham. This is the way it was with David. And this is the way it's been with those that are in the kingdom of God. It's by faith. Now, we do need to walk on the straight and narrow way, not into bondage and not to the other extreme of licentiousness or lasciviousness or anything goes. And Paul made this very, very clear. Listen to Galatians 2:20 and 21, what Paul said. And let this be your reality as you start your day and live in their kingdom of God from henceforth. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. First, I want you to see that we are crucified with Christ. That means the flesh, its sins, its ways. And Paul said it in Galatians 6:6 about being crucified to the world and the world crucified unto him. This is what we need to be, is dead to it, but alive to God in his kingdom and having Christ living in us and abiding in that vine. And this is how you yield peaceable fruit of righteousness as you walk as a son and daughter of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But, he says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness were to come by the law, then Christ died in vain. And you don't want to say that to the Father, and you don't want to say that to Jesus. Because if you think you can earn your way or gain favor with God by doing law out of the flesh and following Moses instead of Jesus, you're in deep trouble. You know, we need to remember that in Deuteronomy 18 was a prophecy to Moses. Moses said himself that another was coming from amongst the brethren, like him, that would speak the words of God and they were to hearken to him. And God said himself, the Father said, I will put my words in his mouth, and he that does not hear him, I will require it. And this is what people need to understand. When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus' commandments are not Moses' commandments. Jesus instituted a new law, and in Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, the power of an endless life, not after the Levitical priesthood or the order of Aaron, which was a carnal commandment. And when you change the priesthood, you change the law by necessity, it says in Hebrews 7, verse 12. It tells us the law was unprofitableness, and it could perfect nothing, but a better hope did. And that's what God has done. And this is why he won a glory in the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. This is Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Dead men don't sin. Are you dead? Are you living in Christ? Was a lot of people in the religious world, a lot of people in the church world are still in the flesh, still in the sins of the flesh, if they've not known the power of Jesus Christ. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. This is the gospel of peace, the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe it. Believe the gospel. For we which have believed do enter into rest.